I say good morning to each and every one of you here. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome any visitors who are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together. I think these two little lights, if somebody could flip them on, they do make a difference even in the daylight. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, it's just encouraging to be together here again this morning. Appreciated the service so far. Appreciated everything that's been said, the Sunday school lesson, the songs that were sung that we sang this morning. Brother Gary had very good songs that we sang. Also, the scripture reading that Brother Eddie had. It's been a really good week. It's been a really busy week, crazy week in some ways, but it is good to be back home and be together and serving the Lord here together in this way. As forgot to mention or thought about it as we were praying, should have prayed for our country. You wonder what we'll face in the coming days and weeks and months ahead. Maybe some turmoil. We don't know what all will happen. Hopefully nothing real serious, but I guess God knows and He is in control. So just again, encourage us to continue to pray for our revivals. And I might go ahead and mention we will be meeting, as we have done in the past, about 20 minutes early for a time of prayer. Around 10 after 7, so if anybody would like to join for that, you're more than welcome to as well. This morning for a message, I felt led to bring the message on trusting in God. But before we think about that, I want to touch briefly, get our minds thinking just a little bit about the sovereignty of God. You know, we often talk about the sovereignty of God. We often, hopefully, think about the sovereignty of God, that He is in control, He knows all things, and I was thinking, you know, and here again, I'm not wanting us to be all caught up in politics by any way or shape or means, but we are all a part of the country. We can't help but to see or hear or read some of the news, and you wonder sometimes what may happen, and I don't want to place any fear or any doubt. I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to do that either, but I guess I'm wanting us to draw our minds to come back to recognize that God is in control. He is sovereign. He knows all things. He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen next year and 3 years from now, 10 years from now, 4 years from now, wherever you want to place it. But just a couple of verses thinking about the sovereignty of God here before we go into the opening of the message. Colossians 1, 14 through 17, it says, right before this, it was Paul was opening up the letter here to the church, the Colossian church, and he was encouraging them to remain faithful, encouraging them to continue to walk in the light and to remember who they are. Then he starts in verse 14. It says, "In whom we have redemption, in Jesus, whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. But here's the next verse or two is the one that's want us to catch. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. For He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn and the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. One other verse I want to look at just briefly, thinking about the sovereignty of God. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 36 says, and this is right where Jesus is before Pilate and is being accused there before Pilate, and Jesus said unto him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here." So yeah, just a couple things as I was thinking about everything that's been going on. Let's remember that God is in control, and we don't have to fear, we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret. We wonder sometimes what the future may hold, but we pray that God will continue to be in control, or we know that God will continue to be in control, and that we can rest and trust in Him. Thinking again a little bit about, and that's kind of what drawed my mind to the message for this week of trusting in God. As we think about life, we all face situations we don't understand. And we all face situations sometimes we're not sure how we can handle. God has promised us that He will be with us and give us strength. But sometimes our faith begins to waver. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That phrase in there, be ye steadfast, or stand firm, be strong, be steady, don't give up, continue to remain faithful regardless of what is happening around us. Paul Harvey once said, "A blind man's world is bound by the limits of his touch, an ignorant man's world is bound by the limits of his knowledge, and a great man's world is bound by the limits of his vision." In other words, what are we focusing on? What are we keeping first place in our life? What are we focusing? So I asked that question to each one of us this morning. What are you focusing on this morning? Did you ever wonder why, and I'm just speaking in general in life now, but did you ever wonder why things happen as they do? You know, why do some of the events of life happen? I don't mean to bring this up, but Brother Gary, I noticed you were struggling when we sang that last song. Why do the events of things have to happen as they did, that they aren't able to get their daughter yet? Why do some lose loved ones at a young age, and others live to be old and wish they could die and can't? Did you ever feel that God has given you more than you can handle? Did you ever wake up in the morning and wish things could be different? Did you ever want to try to hide from your responsibilities? Did you ever wish you didn't have to face some of the things you face at times in your life? Did you ever think, why would God give me all of the responsibility that I have? Another question, or why would God allow me to go through the things that I'm facing right now? Mother Teresa once said, "I know God won't give me more than I can handle. Sometimes He wouldn't trust me with so much." Think about that for a moment. When the pressures of obeying God's call to trust and obedience seems to be too much, it's tempting to look for an easy way out sometimes. We all know the story of Jonah, when God asked him to go to Nineveh. But Jonah decided that he wasn't willing to do it. So we all know the story. I don't have to go back over the whole story. So he hopped on the boat and went to Joppa instead. He said, "I'm not going there. I'm going to go completely the opposite way." But we know how God brought him back to where He wanted him to be. Verse in Isaiah 41, verse 10, says it like this: "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness." What I'm wanting us to grasp here in the opening, before we get into the main part of the message, two things, I guess, that God is in control. God cares about each one of us. God, even though we wrestle through some of the hard things in life, you know, we know the whole story of Jonah. We know the whole story of, and I'll be looking a little bit later here, of David and Goliath. We know the whole story of, but imagine going through some of the things they faced as they went through and worked out the details of their life. Abraham and Sarah, as they waited on the promise of a child. And just many more could come to your minds. That verse there in Isaiah 41:10 is very comforting. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness." It's a question for each one of us to think about, too, as we're in the opening here yet. Are you obediently following God's will for your life today? Are you willing to surrender everything to Him? He will continue to guide you and give you what you need for the next step for tomorrow. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which you should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Question for each one of us to think about, too, as we go into the main part of the message, is how strong is our faith this morning? We'll maybe look at that a little bit later in part of the message, but thinking about that, if you'll turn with me to the main text at this time, we'll be reading Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 14. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 14. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care of me, let me start verse 10 over again. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. The main verse we want to think about or bring our different parts of the message from this morning is verse 13. We'll be looking at the rest of the verses as well throughout the message. But if you leave here this morning and forget everything else that was said, remember this verse: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can continue to have faith. I can continue to have strength to carry on. I can continue to have, you put the answer in there to whatever you're facing today, I can continue to do that through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before us ordained that we should walk in them. Seen a quote this week earlier as I was studying some and preparing for the message, but it said it like this: God uses people to accomplish his will in this world. And what greater example than what we had in the men's or the adult Sunday school class this morning, the Saul who turned into the Apostle Paul. God uses people to accomplish his will in this world. The Apostle Paul has written more of the Bible that we have, the written word of God that we have, than any other writer. That don't make him any greater than anybody else. But think about the conversion experience that he had and how he went from persecuting and slaughtering Christians to being a minister of the gospel, not only a minister of the gospel, but to be part of the writers of the written word of God. God seeks out ordinary people to accomplish his will. All of us have a story in life. When I say a story, all of us are, our life will be a story when we get to the end of our life. What will our story tell? Will our story tell that we were faithful? Will our story tell that we were committed to the Lord? Will our story tell that we continued to serve the Lord until our dying day? That we gave it the best we could? Many people today are proud and arrogant, and you hear the term full of themselves and the things of this world, that God can't use them unless they are converted and surrender the life to the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. It's only through Christ that we can accomplish his will. Part one we want to look at is the phrase, I can do. In John 15:5, very familiar account of Scripture, about the vine and the branches, Jesus saying he is the true vine. But in John, chapter 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But this is the phrase that I want us to catch. For without me, you can do nothing. Again, that total reliance on the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. These three words reveal the perspective of our faith. I can do all things through Christ. It is a fact of human nature that we seldom accomplish more than we think that we can do. Think about it for a moment. If you're facing a task and you're like, man, there's just no way I'm going to do that. I can't do it. There's no way I can't do it. Or if you get halfway through and you run into a snag and you're like just ready to throw your hands up in the air and I can't do it. But what if we think of it the other way? Well, let me back up. I want to make a quote here. Henry Ford once said, people who think they can't. Success begins with I can. Failure begins with I can. If we get to the point where we run into a snag or we run into a dead end, so to speak, something we're doing in life, maybe it's a project, maybe it's something in your Christian walk, maybe it's something that God has asked you to do and you get to the point of saying, I can't really do this anymore. Maybe there's something going on in your life because of that. But instead, we need to be backing up and looking to the Lord and saying, I can do it through God's strength. Or if it's a project you're working on, ask God to help you find out, figure out a way to do it. My dad always had a motto, and I can remember him saying this many, many times, where there's a will, there's a way. I remember we were facing something. I don't even remember what it was. It was over the time we had our barn fire and a cleanup. We were getting ready to do something. There was something we were standing there pondering how we were going to accomplish it. And the one neighbor man was there. He was helping a lot over that time. And I made this quote, and where there's a will, there's a way. And he said he never heard that before. But he said, well, let's figure out how to get it done because it needs to happen. And, you know, relate that into your Christian life. Let's continue to remember that God gives us the desire. If we have the will to do it, he will figure out a way. It's amazing what you can do through the power of God when you don't know that you really can. That might sound like an odd statement, but think about David and Goliath in 1 Samuel. You know, I'm not going to take a lot of time here, but there are a couple things I want to point out in that story. In reality, David could not come up against Goliath. But David didn't even think about that. You know, what did he say whenever David came out and was challenging? I might turn and just look at a couple verses there. What did he say when Goliath came out and was challenging the children of Israel? He didn't say, who is this big man? We better all run and hide. Man, this guy's a giant. No, I'm going to read here. You don't have to turn to it, but just listen along if you want to. 1 Samuel 17, 22 to 24. I do want to start there. And David left his carriage at the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. We all know the story here. I'm not going to go back all over it, how his brothers were off in war and how his dad sent him to check up on them. And as he talked with them, behold, there came a champion, the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake unto the same words. And David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now let's remember here, Goliath, according to what we know in Scripture, it says he was 6 cubits in a span. That would be approximately 10 feet, between 9.5 and 10 feet. We don't know exactly, but I don't know if you've ever seen a 10-foot man, but I've never had. I've seen some tall men, but never anybody 10-foot. And he was a man of war. He had been proven in war. He had won many battles, so to speak. And it talks about David being small or ruddy. He was just in his youth. But let's look what David said. And David spake, verse 26, and David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who, and then this is a question he asked, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He didn't look around and say, this man's big and this man's tall, let's all run. He looked around and said, I can do all things because God's going to give me strength to do it. You can go, you can turn and read the rest of it, some of this others later if you want to, but more of the story. We know the story how David came up against him and the Philistine and Goliath even looked at him and said, am I a dog that you come at me with a slingshot or a stick, he said. But one thing I will say is what David told him. And this is what he said, and all of this, well, I'll read verse 46 and 47. This day will the Lord deliver you into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and this that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that God saveth not with spear and sword, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. What I'm wanting us to think about here and grasp the fact this morning is that let's not focus on what we can't do or what we feel like we can do. Let's focus on what God can do through us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Verse 7 there in our text, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's saying that there's many things in life that we're going to go through that we can't even begin to understand, but through it all, God is going to keep us. We also want to think about that faith is a lot more than positive thinking, but it takes positive thinking to continue to have faith. God has never accomplished anything through people who said, I can. The thought came to me too as I was studying with Moses. We know that when God came to Moses and told Moses what he wanted him to do, and he wanted him to go and be the lead the children of Israel. He wanted them to go and bring them out of Egypt. And Moses, we all know the account, or I hope we do. If we don't, you need to teach it to your children. How then Moses said, you got the wrong, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but you got the wrong guy here. I can't even speak right. And God's like, well, I've already got that covered. Your brother Aaron's going to speak for you. But what I'm saying is, first of all, Moses was like, I can't do it. But when God revealed to him what he was going to do or how he was going to do it, he said, I'm willing to do it. I will do it. God has moved mountains. He's toppled kingdoms. He's turned the world upside down with ordinary folks who say, I'm willing and I can. Not I might or I should or I think I can or I could if. No, it's people that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Part two, we want to look at that phrase of all things. That's the potential of our faith, and it seems like a big promise, but it's no bigger than any other promise in the Bible that we can do all things. Joshua 1:5, and we know the story of Joshua as well, but God promised him that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you think God cares any less about us today than he did back in that day and age? I believe he cares just as much. I don't think I can say more, but we do live in the new covenant and the dispensation of grace nowadays. But that promise is still for us today. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:32, he that spareth not his own son, but delivereth him up for us all, how shall he not with also give us all things? What Paul is writing here that we have in our text this morning is not just something easy to say or not just something that he's trying to paint a pretty picture, but he's saying this from his own personal experience, that verse 13. We need to remember that he was in prison when he was writing this. But that didn't stop him. You know, I'm going to be honest here this morning, but if I got beaten and whipped and everything that the Apostle Paul did, and I got just put into prison, I trust and I pray and I hope that God would give me the grace to continue to have the faith. But Paul was having a lot more than that here at this time. He was not only continuing in the faith, he was encouraging the believers in other churches to remain faithful. He was going beyond just keeping his faith and belief in the Lord. He was sending these letters out, encouraging others to be faithful in the midst of the difficulties of life. Look at verse 11 and 12 there in our text. And this is the Apostle Paul saying this: not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, not that I haven't faced a lot of uncertainty in my life, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul was talking from experience here, and again, I'm not going to turn to it, but if you're ever facing hard times, there's two things to think about often in my life anyhow. First of all, I go to the Psalms and then read some of the Psalms for encouragement. But then you go to a passage like, and if you want, it's whenever, let me back up. I'm not going to turn to it, but if you want to, you can write it down and read it later. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 30, where Paul writes the whole list of things that he had faced in life. If you ever feel that you're facing a lot of hard things because of your service for the Lord, go read what others have went through and remain faithful. Many of us here this morning know by experience as well. Some of us have suffered loss to one extent or another. Many of us have faced problems, if not all of us, confronted temptations, wrestled and struggled to make decisions in life. It wasn't always easy. And sometimes others around you, when they're looking on, wonder if they'll be able to hang on and if they'll make it. But as we think about that phrase again, I can do all things, not just the easy things, not just the things that everybody else is doing, not just the things that it's happy to do, but I can do all things. Regardless of what he places before us, I can do all things through Christ. Part three we want to look at is through Christ who strengthens me. The final phrase of this verse reveals the true power of our faith, and that is through Christ. This phrase is not about the power of positive thinking. It's not about any power that we have within of ourselves. It isn't the promise that you hear the wealth and health and prosperity preachers trying to preach today, that if you dream anything, dream and reach for the stars, it's all there. You just need to reach out for it. The power that we're talking about is only through Christ. Galatians 2:20 reveals a little bit to us of how we can have that power and get that power in life. Says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So there we see the beginning. The only way we can have that power is through dying to ourselves, giving up, surrendering to the Lord, allowing him to be Lord of our lives. Again, that phrase in that verse in John 15:5, the end of that verse, for you can do nothing without me, or without me you can do nothing. It's not about us, it's all about him. And God don't allow us to go through the things that we go through to come out victorious on the other side, to pat ourselves on the back or to have somebody else pat us on the back. No, I believe he allows us to go through those things for others to see an example and to learn and to and not only for that, but to increase our faith. It's a quote that I've seen that I think will stick with me for a long time. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this morning, but I trust if I asked you the question and asked you to raise your hands, if all of us feel that Jesus won the victory, or if God and Jesus won the victory over Satan and death and hell when Jesus rose from the grave, I would trust that everybody here this morning would raise your hand. But this quote said it like this: If God can't fail, if you keep your faith in Him, you can't lose. Think about that for a minute. If God can't fail, if you keep your faith and trust in Him, you can't lose. So we want to look briefly here at the first several verses in our text this morning, just as I might call it a recipe, or a, I don't know if that's a good word, right word, but something for us to cling to or to look to of how we can continue to keep our faith in the Lord. Verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation or your gentleness," in other words, allow your salvation to be witnessed by others around them, around you. It says, "Be known unto all men. Be careful or be anxious for nothing." Here again, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you were anxious this week as you watched some things unfold? That's probably a dumb question, but... And I thought about that too, and I'm not trying to be whatever here. But I trust that none of us ever get to the place that we place our faith in any leader or ruler or president ever. There's nothing that they can ever do to save us. Yes, in our minds, it looks like certain people make better choices than others, but God is in control. Be careful, be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, be thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Coming humbly, and here again I'm paraphrasing that, but coming humbly before the Lord, praying and making our requests be made known unto God. In verse 7, the peace of God. Do we have the peace of God in our hearts, which passes all understanding? It says we'll keep our hearts and minds. Then verse 8 is a very good verse. I think one time I preached a whole message off of just verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Quote that I've seen, I'll read here in closing, maybe make a few other comments. It says, thinking again about the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty is another way of saying God is supreme and in control. God is the infinite ruler of all. He is running the show, so to speak, or the things that are happening in the world. Nothing can prevent His predetermined plan. Nothing can take Him by surprise. God works all things according to the counsel of His will. Nothing will happen that is unplanned. God governs what happens. He will not fail to accomplish His purpose. Although at times the world seems God-forsaken, He is working behind the scenes with a design that is unknown to us all. Like a tapestry turning over, we see only the messy, loose ends when God sees the beautiful, finished picture. So as we go through life, let's remember to continue to keep our faith and trust in the Lord. Let's continue to remember that He is in control of everything that is happening around about us. And let's continue to remember, regardless of what we face in life, we can be faithful. And we can, as it says there in verse 13, continue to do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or who gives us strength. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.